the morning service, the morning message today will be fellowship. Fellowship. That's for all the believers. It would be coming from Acts 2, 42 through 44. And it reads, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs was done through the apostles. Now all who believe were together and had all things in common." May the Lord add the blessing to the believers of his word.
This man, he is our God, the great I am, our God, whose son upon a tree alive was willing there to give, that he from sin might set men free, and evermore with him could live. There is a God, he is alive, in him we live and we survive. From dust our God createth man. He is our God, the great I am.
Amen. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Now, whether you're a member of this Franklin family or just a visitor to this congregation, or those out there that are our virtual guests, I'm grateful that you're here today, and grateful that God has brought us together for yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those of us that would be the saints of God. Amen? Amen. Shall I open my Bible to the book of 1 John chapter 1, and also we're going to take a look at Acts chapter 2, and my invitation is for you to join me there as we look at these verses for today's lesson. 1 John chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. And to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 12 and verses 10 through 13, Paul says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." I want to tell you this morning that that's what the church is designed to do, isn't it? That's what the church is designed to do. In fact, the church was meant to be a place where in-depth relationships and lifelong relationships could be nurtured in the church. It was designed by God to be a place where a deep commitment to God and a deep devotion to one another could be fashioned. It was designed for the church. Now, the Bible word for that is a simple word. It's the word that you see before you, the word fellowship. It's a simple word. It's a plain word. It's a mere word called fellowship. Now, I'm sure that all of you have had the question asked you before, do you have a fellowship hall in your church? Everybody wants to know if you have a fellowship hall in your church. And the answer is yes, we certainly do. Yes, we do. and you're looking at it right here. Right here. This is it. This is a place where multiple times a week we enjoy fellowship with each other. As a matter of fact, we have a lot of fellowship halls. Sometimes it could be in the living room. Sometimes it's in the dining room. It's places where we come together and receive encouragement, where we share our lives together. Sometimes it's in a funeral home where we shed tears for the loss of a loved one. Sometimes it's a hospital room where we celebrate the life of a newborn child into this world. I got to tell you this morning that this word fellowship is a beautiful Bible word. And it's even more beautiful when it's seen in action. But at its core, it has to do with the concept of communion or sharing. The American Standard Bible defines fellowship as a sharing. That we share something together. And that's really what fellowship is. That's what it's all about. It's the idea that we are partners and we are jointly participating in something we share together, one with another. But the primary biblical application of fellowship is spiritual. It's that of spiritual. It's a spiritual nature. That is, there's a definite and sometimes overlooked spiritual participation that we share. And sometimes we overlook the importance of fellowship in our lives. We overlook that. But our worship is a shared effort. I mean, we sing together. We share the cup and we share the bread. We bow our heads together as we share prayer to God. And we open up the text and we read the word of God together. I've got to tell you this morning that we stand together. And with one harmony, with one voice, with one heart, one mind, we sing to God together and we fellowship. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, Paul says to the church at Philippi, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." You know what that says to me every time I read it? It says to me that I'm not personally trying to be odd, and I'm not trying to be as different as I can be. Neither am I trying to see how far I can push the envelope. I'm really trying to act in such a way as to gain spiritually from you, and you ultimately can gain spiritually from me. It's a fellowship that we have, can't you see? It's hearts that are kindred spirits that are knit together like Jonathan and David, and we fellowship to God. So in this church, we exist to bring ourselves and others into community, into relationship, and a fellowship with God and with each other. That's what we exist to do in this church. So maybe you're here this morning and you feel spiritually drained. Maybe you have come here this morning, but in some small way, you feel that there's a disconnect between you and God. And you're here this morning and you're trying to do something about that. Or maybe this morning you feel connected to God, but disconnected from the people of God. And it may be that you're not sure about the role that you have among the people of God. You're not sure where your niche is in the congregation. Or maybe you're here this morning and you feel connected both to God and others, and you're here to reinforce that, to revel in that, and to enjoy that. But whatever the case might be, whatever the reason you might be here for, I got to tell you, you're in the right place. In the right place this morning. Because again, we're here trying to bring people into a right relationship with God and in a community of God's people and in a common unity that we share to grow together, to mature spiritually in service to God and to others. That's what we are here to do. It's called a simple word. It's all about fellowship. But of course, in order to accomplish that, there are two sides that must be understood and enforced. We must understand this if we're going to have fellowship. The first one is a fellowship that reaches vertically up to God. It has to reach vertically. Fellowship has to begin by being right first and foremost with God. The concept there is that before we can have right relationship with others, we've got to get it right with God. We have got to get it right with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You know, when you read those verses, when I look at those verses, it's crystal clear that God is saying, look, I want to have a relationship between you and me. There's a way that you can behave so that you and I can enjoy sweet fellowship together, God says. There's a way that you can behave so we can share and be joint participants as we walk in the light of life. 1 John 4:6, we are of God. He who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. But this we know, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That is, if we listen to what God says we ought to do, we ought to do the right thing. If we're listening to God, we ought to be able to do the right thing with him and be engaged in a vertical fellowship with God. In any group, no matter where they are, where they stand, where they're from, in any group, there is a standard. There are some principles among which the group operates, and they have to have those principles, because if not, there's just going to be chaos. In the church of Christ, the church that Christ purchased with his own blood, in the church, our blessings come because God himself has given us the principles. God himself has given us the standard. We don't have to guess about it at all. To the church of Ephesus, he says in Ephesians 4:4-6, there is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And that one Spirit led us to obey in the waters of baptism. And through that, we were born into one body where we serve the one Lord. And that one Lord is the avenue by which we have a relationship of fellowship with the one God, a vertical relationship with the one God. And because of that, we all enjoy one living hope. And these principles, these God-given standards, I don't get to change those. You don't get to change those. I must and you must live by them if we're going to have a vertical relationship with the God of heaven. So any issue, any question, any dispute to be settled, the answer lies in the very simple question, what does God's word say about that? And if I can be honest about that, I got to tell you, if I can be honest about that, I know that I can have that fellowship with God and he'll be pleased with me. And we can walk together, because Amos said, Amos 3:3, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? How can there be any fellowship of hearts if there is no agreement? The second thing is that we have to have a horizontal fellowship. That is a relationship that reaches out to others. It's the fellowship that reaches across the aisle. And the principle is that if a fellowship is going to be vertical, it has to be horizontal as well. Because see, God never intended for us to just have fellowship with him without living in community with other believers. That was not his intention. So God gave us a church, and he gave us a church relationship, just like he gave us a family relationship. The church family relationship is extremely important to God. He says in 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It's here where John declares that we need a relationship with each other. And it's achieved in tandem with the vertical relationship we have with God. It's horizontal and vertical at the same time. You can't have one without the other and still achieve fellowship with God. 1 John 1:6 through 7, he expounds on it even more. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness. There's a lot of folks that say they have fellowship with God, and he says, and they're walking in darkness. We lie and we do not practice the truth, but if we walk in the light, very familiar scripture, I need you to get this. He says, if you walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Fellowship with God and fellowship with one another, walking in the light. This is a side note. I want to mention a couple things to you this morning about two types of fellowship we can have, but they're forbidden by God. The first one is we find ourselves in a horizontal relationship sometimes with each other, but we're not in a relationship with God. We're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We have a horizontal relationship with each other, but no relationship with God. I mean, in 1 Corinthians 5, we see brethren in the church enjoying fellowship, just relishing in each other. Brethren who are so tolerant and so open-minded, brethren who are so generous in spirit, that they were closing their eyes and pretending not to see the immorality that was in their midst. But God had a problem with that. You see, as long as they overlook such behavior, God said, I won't have any fellowship with you at all in that. As long as you allow that, we cannot walk together. So we have fellowship in that case that is horizontal and far apart from God. We have too many fleshly relationships in our lives, and we don't have a spiritual relationship with God. And in our minds, we think we're serving God, but we are not. Second thing is we find ourselves in a vertical relationship with God, but we are not in relationship with each other. What in the Sam Hill is that? How can you love God? How can you say you love God and when you're sitting right beside your brother? Amen. This is nothing that's... It's not foreign to you. How can you say you love God and your brother's sitting right beside you? Sometimes we're in a vertical relationship with God, so we think, but we're not in relationship with each other. Right with God, but for some reason, devoid of a horizontal relationship. We're not reaching across the aisle at all. You know, I always find that as people, we always look for something to not like somebody for. I mean, as soon as we see them coming down the street, walking in the door, we sizing them up. Let me just see what I can. Third John 9:10, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes. I'm going to give an example of somebody that's devoid of a horizontal fellowship. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. He's in the church, but he's not receiving the people. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren. And forbids those who wish to, by putting them out of the church. I know you don't think about that too much, but I need you to see this morning. Here's a man, Diotrephes, one who was the chief shepherd and not Jesus Christ. He was the chief shepherd, the head potentate of the church and not Christ. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine any man thinking that? A man who had enough influence and would not bestow church fellowship on Christians like John, who were clearly in fellowship with God. Both those fellowships, both of those two types of fellowships are skewed and forbidden by God. They are just flat out wrong. They're wrong. But the perfect balance and example of fellowship is 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, that is, we have fellowship with God. Then we have fellowship with one another. The perfect blend of vertical and horizontal fellowship was made possible by that vertical and horizontal tree of sacrifice as we see Jesus Christ His body stretched vertically, his arms stretched horizontally as he cries out to God for the salvation of the world, that we might have fellowship with him and with one another. It's at the cross. It's a perfect blend made by Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. So when we walk in the light, we have an instant rapport with others who are trying to do the same thing. Even in spite of our diversity, it's because of that perfect blend, that Christian fellowship. It cuts across economic barriers and cultural barriers and racial barriers. Jesus broke all of that down. And so our fellowship hall consists of young and old. Our fellowship hall consists of rich and poor. Our fellowship hall consists of healthy and infirm. We are Democratic and Republican. We are black and we are white. We are babes and we are mature Christians in Christ. And sometimes, when you look around, you realize that the only thing that we have in common is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great to have a common salvation? The high calling of God in Christ Jesus, which gives us fellowship. It gives us a partnership. It gives us friendship and communion with each other. And that relationship, I want to describe it in just four words. The first word is encouragement. Because our sharing together is designed by God to give us encouragement. Because outside, the world is a discouraging place. The world will beat us down all of the time. And that makes fellowship with God a necessity. We need that. I think that no one can survive. Listen to me. I don't think that anyone can survive without encouragement. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5 and 6 says this. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts and inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Here Paul says this. He says, I want you to understand that we're going through some tough times right now. I want you to understand that we're distressed on every side. We had trouble on the outside. There was physical persecution. And on the inside, we had fears. What's interesting, though, is God's solution was not to remove Paul from the circumstances. God's solution wasn't to change the circumstances at hand that he was in. God's answer to that was horizontal fellowship. What did he do? God sent Titus. You see that? In the midst of all that was going on, God didn't remove him at all out of the circumstance. God sent Titus. Somebody he knew would encourage Paul in his present situation. And I got to tell you, that's what we do here. Because life right now for a lot of folks is really tough. There are a lot of people that's hurting. And what we need more than anything else is prayer and fellowship. We need prayer and fellowship. People are hurting. And that's what we endeavor to do because let me tell you something. You can't fulfill all those Bible commands by yourself. How can you fulfill a command to encourage one another by yourself? Can't do it. It says encourage one another. How can you build up one another by yourself? You can't do it, build up one another. And how can you be devoted to one another? Need me to say it? How can you even fellowship by yourself? And there are about 33 others like that in the New Testament. God gave us a physical family and a church family that we might be encouraged by fellowship one with another. Second thing is reinforcement. You know, it's easy as a Christian to feel like you're all alone, just by yourself. I mean, all of us have found ourselves in tough circumstances sometimes, especially when you're trying to do right. And you see everybody around you, they're not simply pushing the envelope, but they push the envelope wide open and they're doing wrong. And we see it. And you're the only one trying to hold on to what's right while everybody else cheats. You're the only one trying to hold on to what's right while everybody lies. You're the only one that's trying to do right while everybody around you is filled with deceit. But I want you to know this morning, I want you to know when we come into the fellowship of the saints on the Lord's Day, when we come in this fellowship hall on the Lord's Day and involve ourselves in joint participation of worship, we are reminded that everybody is not like that. And that's why we so often miss the context of Hebrews chapter 10. Let me tell you something. That verse is not some spiritual club used to beat people into submission for church attendance. That's not what that was written about. But when you look at verse 24 gives us some reinforcement, because verse 24 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. It's to encourage each other and to do what's right. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We don't stir the pot because people are around and looking for mess. We stir up love. We don't stir up past misgivings because we're better than somebody else. We stir up good works. And the reinforcement from that perpetuates fellowship with God and with one another. Here's number three for you. Accountability. Accountability. Why? Because the world is a tempting place. And fellowship gives us just what we need. It gives us accountability. There is no one who will be so spiritually mature or so strong as a Christian as not to welcome a gentle reminder. Sometimes we may need more than that. Sometimes we might need a caring rebuke, and always we will need the wise counsel of others. That's why Solomon said in Proverbs 27, iron sharpens iron. That's why. Or in Galatians 2, when Paul confronted Peter, hold him accountable for his hypocritical fellowship. Caught him with the grease on his mouth, here come the boys. Oh, but y'all didn't see me over there. I wasn't fellowshipping with them, I was with. Listen, everybody needs accountability, but our ultimate accountability is to God. And even though you find some people saying things like, you know what, I need to be true to myself. Or I just got to be who I am. Or you just don't understand. This is the way that I am, they say. And so often those words are spoken to try to justify or excuse bad behavior. I mean, what they say, I behave badly, but even so, I got to be true to myself. And this is the way that I am. And then ultimately they say, you know what? This is the way God made me. Let me just say this to you this morning. There's nothing wrong with being true to yourself, provided you are first true to God. Nothing wrong with being true to yourself, but you need to have a vertical and horizontal fellowship with God in order to be true with yourself. You must be true to God first. And this fellowship that we enjoy, this fellowship among the saints and among those of us that are God's people, and the fellowship of God, it holds us accountable to one another. And fellowship holds us accountable to God. So come see me. Come pray with me. Come pray for me. And I'll come see you, and I'll come pray with you, and I'll come pray for you, and we will have prayer and fellowship. Too many times there are Christians that are married to each other, husband and wife, and they don't even fellowship together because they're too busy trying to find something wrong in the relationship. God has put those two spirits together for sweet fellowship and communion as husband and wife, and they can't even see it. Forget about trying to do another brother something. You've got a brother or sister in your own household, and your prayers are hindered because you're not. It's about accountability before God. Let's start at home. Let's start with us first. Before you reach out to me, be right with God first. Influence. Why influence? Because our world is so very skeptical. I mean, you know, I grew up in a time, and it's even happening today when the world was filled with a lot of religious charlatans that only seek to separate individuals from their money. Amen. Let me say it again. I ain't scared of nobody. There's a lot of religious charlatans out there. In the name of God, name of religion, they seek to separate individuals from their money. And what's a shame is, because our world has seen that so often, it's easy to believe that the motives of Christian people are not very pure. But here's a hot flash for you. There is one quality. There's one quality that will impress the world every time. It's the love and care that Christians have one for another. It's going to impress them all. It's going to knock them to their knees. John 13, 34 through 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He says, by this, all will know, everybody's going to know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It's going to knock them down. It's going to turn the world upside down. That's what love is going to do. Love and fellowship go hand in hand. And if our fellowship is truly with God and with each other, I got about 10 more minutes. I got about 3 more questions I want to ask you. If our fellowship is truly with God and with each other, here's my first question. Who are you putting up with? Who are you putting up with? I guarantee that there's somebody in your life, if you're to be right with God, that you're going to have to tolerate. There's some things that you're going to have to put up with, and it's just not easy. Ephesians 4:2 says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bear with one another in love. Let me read that to you again. Because somebody putting up with you, right? With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bear with one another in love. I got to tell you that if it's just isolated to this room, just this room, fellowship would be a breeze. It'd be a breeze. If the only fellowship we have to worry about is when we meet in this room, fellowship would be a piece of cake. And you know why? Because if there's someone in this room that gets under your skin, someone that's just aggravating to you, you don't have to sit beside them. You can move. You can move. And you can mask your feelings externally, but God knows your heart. But what you do when it's an individual that doesn't treat you right, what do you do when it's someone that just don't treat you right? What do you do when it's someone that's unfair? What do you do when they talk about you and not talk to you? What do you do? There are times in our lives when we just have to put up with that. With all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, we bear that burden in love. Here's a good example for you right here. And it's all about me right now. This example is my personal inquiry to God. And my question to God is, God, why do you even put up with me? Why are you putting up with me, Lord? I'm not worthy at all. But God puts up with me to show me that I have to put up. I got to put up with you. Here's a second question. Who am I showing hospitality to? 1 Peter 4:9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Let me read that again. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And please know that word is hospitality and not entertainment. We're too much into that and not hospitality. Hospitality is moving to meet needs. It's opening our eyes to see where we can be of valuable service to someone else. It's meeting real and tangible needs. Simply, you know what it is? It's being friendly. Anybody got that in them? Anybody got any friendliness in them? Or is that a word that's just we don't use too much no more? You know, let's be friends. Let's be friends. What was that, the group war? Why can't we be? It's just as simple as being friendly. And number three is, whose burdens am I bearing? Galatians 6:2 says this, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's simple. I don't have to expound that at all. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. You know, I just want to say to the members of this congregation, if you're visiting with us, just give me a second. I want to say something to this congregation. And if it fits you, so be it. Thank you. Thank you to this congregation. Over the last month, we've had multiple occasions to be hospitable and bear a burden or two or three, and not only our own. We've had the occasion to meet real and tangible needs of those in the midst of this pandemic, to meet real and tangible needs of those that are grieving the loss of a loved one, to meet real and tangible needs of those that are dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Ida, to meet real and tangible needs of those who are truly hurting. But that's what the church is designed to do, isn't it? Isn't it? In fact, the church is meant to be a place where in-depth relationships and lifelong friendships could be nurtured. It was designed by God to be a place where a deep commitment to God and a deep devotion to one another could be fashioned. So I want to say this morning, thank you. Thank you. Thanks for the vertical and horizontal relationships that you've had over the last month and a half. Thanks for the fellowship of the saints. Thanks for the encouragement. Thanks for the accountability. Thanks for the reinforcement. Thanks for the godly influence. Listen, thanks for the fellowship. Thanks for the fellowship. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 45. Listen to God. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods, and they divided them among all as anyone had need. In all that trouble, in all the turmoil of the day of Pentecost, God gave us an example of what the church is all about. He says the church is all about fellowship. All about fellowship. Our fellowship with God and our fellowship with each other matters greatly to God. I don't know if you ever considered that, but you ought to consider that. Because let me tell you what fellowship ain't. I'm from Gramercy, I can see that. I'll tell you what it ain't. It ain't just getting together, sitting around and opening up these doors and eating food. Because I want you to think about that with somebody who was sitting at the table with Jesus who wasn't in fellowship with Jesus, eating the food. It's a matter of the heart, fellowship. It's a matter of encouragement. It's a matter of friendship. It's a matter of love. It's not just shoveling food in your mouth, looking at you across the table. Because our hearts may not be connected. I need you to look across the table and talk to me and tell me if there's a fault that I need to correct so I can go to heaven. Amen. Speak truth to one another. Lie not one to another. Look me in my face and you tell me I can deal with that. I'm a grown man. Amen. Amen. Our fellowship with God, our fellowship with one another matters greatly. So this morning I want to encourage you to walk in the light. To walk in the light. Continue to have fellowship with God and with one another. And when the time comes to be accountable to God, we all will reap the benefits of eternal fellowship with God and his saints in heaven. We're going to have that. Here's God's invitation to that fellowship. Acts chapter 2. Verse number 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's what you got to do. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Save yourself. You can save yourself this morning from this untoward generation. He said, and those who gladly received the word of God were baptized. And that day, in the midst of all that was turmoil before that, on that day, 3,000 souls were added to the church. That was a big fellowship, wasn't it? Wouldn't you like to see that? Wouldn't you like to be a part of that? It's no possible way you can see or be a part of that if you don't start your vertical and horizontal relationship on your own right now. A relationship with God and a relationship with your fellow man. Fellowshipping with the saints and giving your all to God, pouring out your heart, pouring out your life, sacrificing yourself to God as a reasonable worship. I don't know if you ever looked at the definition of fellowship before, but I sure hope this morning that your heart was open and that you've understood it in this way. If we can help you today to come to God and receive that salvation that only he can give, Acts 4:12, there's no other name under heaven given to men by which you must be saved. Won't you come as we stand and sing the invitation song?
Holy and tenderly,
Jesus is calling. Will there be one this morning?
Calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching.
Will there be one to respond to the call of God?
Watching for you.
Will there be one to come this morning? God is waiting.
For
will you come home?
Me.
Will you come home?
Come home, come home, come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is. My Savior, come to earth and to the humble go. Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. He loved me so, he loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so.
We come to another part of the service where we commemorate the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. We find four examples in Matthew 26:26, and it reads, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, for this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not eat henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to take part in this feast. Praying, Heavenly Father, We thank you for the, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the bread, which is thy broken body, and we thank you for the cup, which is thy shedded blood, praying that those who take it do so in a manner which is pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. In Jesus' name, amen. We come to another part of the service where we're able to give back a portion of what God has blessed us with. We find, for example, in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verses 6 through 8, it reads, But this I say, he which soweth, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he is prosperous in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, but God loveth the cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Let us give thanks. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this collection that we receive, praying it go for the upkeep and the things that are necessary to help all the Christians that are here. In Jesus' name, amen.